Mike, I had to leave, but you didn't tell me.
I know you told me. Thank you very much. Okay, good morning, everyone. We are in Zechariah, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud. We're in the middle of Rashi, Rashi, Pasuk Yud. Rashi says, Ruachin v'sachanunim on that day, v'shafachti al Beis David, the Pasuk Yud. I will pour out upon the Beis David, b'al Yoshua Yushalayim, Ruach, a spirit of chen v'sachanunim. We learned this in the Mitzvah Stavit to mean, to mean that Hashem will inspire Klal Yisrael to have a desire to be mispalel to Him. Let's read the whole pasuk. V'shafachti al porad al beis David v'al Yoshua Yushalayim, ruach a spirit of chen v'sachanunim, a spirit which we learn to mean a desire to find favor and a desire to pray to Hashem. V'hibitu elai, and they will look to me. Es asher dokaru, they will look to me. The people that have been stabbed. V'saftu alav kimispeid hayochid v'hamer alav k'hamer al habachar. Now, did we actually do this pasuk? We did. So let's review this pasuk in the mitzvahs before we see Rashi. Okay, I'm going to go back to the mitzvahs of the pasuk yud. The pasuk says. The Shafachti, return to Lemar Etin Beshef al Beis David, return Rotzoin Hamshach Aschein al Atzman, or Rotzoin Havtzoras Sachanunim Lefanai. The people have an urgent, have a need, a desire to find favor in the eyes of Hashem and to supplicate before Him to be Mispalo to Hashem. Okay, then it says over here on the next page in the Mitzvah of David, Vibitu Elov, Eli, Lishol, I'm reading the Mitzvah of David, page 837. Page 837. They will look to me to ask for mishpat, lahashiv gemul, punishment. The mitzvahs never learned that this pasuk is referring to that Klal Yisrael is going to want justice. They're going to demand justice for the murder, for the killing of Mashiach ben Yosef. Val Mashiach ben Yosef yomar shemes v'muhama v'chinam rezal kin mispeid al hayachid kemo hamispeid shadam oisa al misas ben yachid. The mourning for Mashiach ben Yosef will be equivalent to the mourning that a Rachman will son a parent has for an only child. V'homer yivku alav ben Ruiru, slave, they will cry over him with bitterness. K'mo she'mimorim she'mimoririm b'vchi al misas habachar. So they will demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu justice for the murder of Mashiach ben Yosef, which is the pasuk inside. With this understanding, that's number one. Hashem will inspire Klal Yisrael to have a desire to find chen in Hashem's eyes, and to a desire to daven to Hashem, and the bitu elai, and they will look to me. Es asher dokaru, they will look to me. Es asher hakaru, he understands to mean. It's hard to translate these words. They will look to Hashem to demand justice regarding. We have to translate here the word ace as if it says regarding. Ace asher dekar, regarding the one that was stabbed. Meaning the one that was murdered. Who was murdered? Mashiach ben Yosef. And then, after they demand justice, they're going to mourn over him for the mourning. They will mourn Allah can mispaid as if it was a mourning al hayochid and a father that only has one child. The hamer Allah, and there will be a bitterness. The word hamer comes with mar upon him. Ki hamer al habachor, like the bitterness one expresses over the loss of a firstborn child. It's interesting the order. You think that in the person Rahman al Islam, if he suffers as a victim of a crime, is a victim of a crime. So I think ordinarily you think the order is the other way around. The first thing a person does is he mourns. And after the mourning comes to an end, then you seek justice. Is that correct? Or it's simultaneous? I don't know how when a person is a victim of a crime. And in this example, the person over here has a child, and the child was killed. So what are the steps? So I don't know. I mean, you don't really. It's hard over here to really know what's the correct psychological steps. Yeah. What?
The events of today.
What do you mean? So explain.
You know, police shootings. What's the reaction of the
fans? Oh, so what do they do? So they want justice right away. They riot. And then later they.
The family does the crime. Mm-hmm. Well, others do the rioting, but the family, if that's what we're referring to, they demand justice.
Immediately. And then later they mourn. So is that the Jewish way?
Later they collect.
Is that the Jewish way? What's the first thing the person should ordinarily do? Should the person first mourn, or should the person first demand justice?
I don't know. It depends.
I don't know either. Here it's very interesting. Then this passage, the order is first. They're going to demand justice.
Maybe if it's a Jewish family, they probably mourn first and demand justice after.
Oh, okay, exactly. So the pasuk is, that's what's bothering me. Because, I mean, you should never know from these things, but theoretically, you would assume the first thing is you're going to mourn. First is going to be mourning, and after the mourning is over, then you're going to demand justice. But here in the pasuk, the order is reversed. It says first they're going to demand justice for Mashiach ben Yosef, and then they're going to mourn. So it's very interesting, the order of the way it's presented. Okay, so this concludes this. Now let's see Rashi. How Rashi learns this pasuk. Rashi here says, Ruach chen v'sachanunim sheyaleh al rucham lehischanein lefonai. It will go before their spirit, lehischanein to daven before me, v'heim yiyu lechen be'enai. Ruach is, what does that word mean? Ruach, what does this word mean?
Talant. According to this, it means desire.
Desire. Okay. So there's gonna be v'shachya basically yeshusham ruach chayim. Exactly. Basically, the Rashi seems to be saying exactly the same thing as the Mitzudais David, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pour upon the base of David yeshusham ruach, the desire. Hashem will bring upon them, will influence them to want to supplicate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they should find chayim in His eyes. Pretty much exactly what the Mitzvah study said. And then it says the next Rashi, V'bitu Eli Esa Sher Dokaru Tirgim Yonason V'yiv Oin Min Kodamai Al Di'ital Talu. What does that mean? V'hibitu Lehis Oinein, they will look to mourn Al Asher Dokru Bohem Umais. They're going to look to mourn regarding the person that has been stabbed by the nations of the world. Who are we referring to? Referring to specifically to Mashiach, like we said, V'horgu mehem bigolusam, V'softu olav al oisei ha'erek, on the victims, kin mispeid al hayachid, kasher yispeid ish al ben yechidoi, Rabbi said in the parish, Shuhu al Mashiach ben Yosef shenerag b'mesech b'sukkah. Same thing as the Mitzvah started, but, it seems, okay, v'yivin, let's go back. V'bitu elai esa shodokaru, back to the top of the Rashi, tirgim yana son, v'yivoin, they will demand, min kodamai al di'i tal talu. They will make a demand from me regarding the person that was murdered. Then Rashi says, v'hibitu, they will look, lehis onain, to mourn, al asher dokru bohem umos, then they will I guess he's now explaining the word of saftu. Is that, but not really. Well, yeah.
The translation here is, and they will supplicate me because of their wanderings. That's the first part.
Their wanderings? They're gonna supplicate me before because of their wanderings?
Yeah, which word was
I'm that? Not sure I understand what that means. Because of their, what he's translating the word dokar, their wanderings. The dokar means
no,
to stand.
No, no.
Yeah.
But you're not looking at the whole phrase there.
Yeah.
Look at the whole phrase.
Rashi is very, very similar to the stuff it says.
And then the second part is, and they will look to me to complain about those of them who the nations thrust through and slew during their exile.
Okay.
That's
all right. Okay, right. Exactly right. That's what we've been saying. So the basic idea over here, according to Rashi and the Mitzvah, is exactly the same. Is that at this time they're going to two things. There's going to be either we look at this as victims, many victims. We are describing all the people throughout the entire history of Klal Yisrael have been murdered.
Yeah,
all the victims.
Talu means moving from place to place, wandering.
The tal, oh, I see what you saying. Kodam al di tal tolu.
Okay,
that's the targum. That's according to the targum.
Right.
Is that what the targum really means? Ital tolu. V'yivoyim min kodamai al di tal tolu. on those that have wandered. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't know what this means. We have to check. We have to go more to the Targum. I'm not so sure that what the Judaic press translating the word Ditalu means to wander. It could be the word Ditalu means something a little different. We have to see the word Dekaru. He's translating Ital Tal. I have a dictionary. Yeah, that's what
maybe he's adding something.
He's translating the Targum. The Targum translates the Jews are going to demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Al Di'i Tal Tolu. That's the Targum. The Targum translates the words Dokoru as Di'i Tal Tolu. What does that word mean? What does the word Di'i Tal Tolu mean? So the word Di'i Tal Tolu, I don't know what it means. The word Dokoru literally means stabbed. And according to the Mitzvah stuff, it means murdered. Murder was done via stabbing. A sword stabbed the person. Now the Targum, Dokaru, he wants to say that it doesn't mean it means the expulsions. Dokaru means to push. I do not know. We have to see some of the Mepharshim more. Maybe we'll be concluded, maybe not. But if you want to tell me, if you want to accept that the Judaic Press translation of the word Dokaru, Ditel Tolu, means to wander.
I don't know if it's a translation or it's interpolating.
Okay, whatever it is, but if we want to accept that the word Dokaru means to wander, so what this pasuk is saying with Rashi is...
No, clearly he's saying that Ditel Tolu is the wandering. Clearly, how we understand that.
That word, Di'ital Tolu, is the Targum's translation for the word Dokaru.
Or an explanation.
So, how did the Targum go from the word Di'ital, from the word Dokaru in Hebrew to the word Di'ital Tolu? Now, firstly,
I don't think that's what it is.
It has to be what it is. That's what he's saying. Let's forget about the Judaic Press. Let's put the Judaic Press aside. Let's read the words of Rashi, what we have. The pasuk says, V'hibitu elai, the Jewish people will look to me, Hashem is speaking, they will look to me, ace regarding, asher dokaru. What does the word dokaru mean? I thought the word dokaru means stared, which is really what the Mitzvah Slavit says. The Mitzvah Slavit seems to say is that the Klal Yisrael is going to demand justice regarding the individual who was murdered. Who is the individual? Mashiach ben Yosef. Look at the Mitzvah Stavit.
Yeah, that's later.
Look at the Mitzvah Stavit. The Mitzvah Stavit here says, V'hibitu, on the other page 837, V'hibitu elai. The Jewish people will look to me. The Mitzvah Stavit translates words V'hibitu to mean to demand, to ask, but demand. Lishol mishpat. Yeah. To ask from Hashem justice.
Justice.
Lehashiv gemul, which means to return punishment, justice,
to repay.
So you take the words lishol mishpat lehashiv gemul, which means they're going to look to Hashem to demand justice for what? Eis asher dekaru, regarding the al mashiach ben yosef yemash shemes b'mulchama. What does the word dekaru mean? It means to be stabbed. Look at the mitzudos tzion. He says dekaru inyan niitzas hacherev beguf, the thrusting of the sword in the body, stabbing. Okay, fine. And then Chazal tell us, refer to Moshiach ben Yosef, and then the next apostle goes, and not only will they demand justice, they will mourn a bitter, bitter mourning, like a parent mourns over Rachmana Litzlan, over a Ben Yochid. Now, Rashi quotes the Targum Yonason. The Targum says, Targum Yonason, V'yiv oin min kodamai. Now, first of all, let's just jump ahead. The Targum Yonason, the Rashi in his first interpretation, understands that this pasuk is not referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. That's the second interpretation of Rashi. In his first interpretation, there's a demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Klal Yisrael, the victims in Klal Yisrael. Who are these victims? Are these victims people who have been murdered? Or maybe the victims, if you want to tell me, convince me, that the word that the Targum uses to translate Dokaru, which is the Ital Tolu, means to wander, metaltalin, movable objects. So then you're going to tell me the word Dokaru does not mean like what it says in Mitzvah Stavit, to be stamped. The word Dokaru means to push. So then it's referring to the Jewish people are going to demand justice for the expulsions. Going back in Jewish history,
I suggest it's both. It's both the persecution that forces us to wander, and also the
persecution
and the murderous
goes together. When someone stabs you, you run away. When someone is trying to stab you,
somebody close to you, you run.
Exactly. If someone is the victim of terror that causes everyone in their vicinity to run away, to be dispersed, to run to a new country. So the word Dokar we are translating here is, according to the Stavad, but literally translates this the word Di'italtalu. If you can tell me, it means to wander. And that's a very interesting, and again, the Rashi says that we are not describing Mashiach ben Yosef. We are describing the entire Klal Yisrael. And it is a fact that the Jewish people have been expelled from every single country in this world. There has not been a country where they have not been thrown out of. And that the time will come of Mashiach when there will be a demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to execute justice to the Ummah Yisraelim who have expelled the Jewish people. And Rashi, this is what it says. The Yivoy min Kodamai min the Ital Talu, the Ibitu Lis Oinin, and they will look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lis Oinin. Then Rashi then says his own commentary. And Rashi says, they will look lehis onain. What does the word lehis onain mean? In our language, it means to mourn. Alasher dokru bohem umois. And Rashi says the word vehorgu mehem bigolusa. So Rashi,
when the Torah speaks of the nis onanim,
complainers.
Yeah, isn't that
is that the same word? Maybe I do not know. Mm-hmm. I do not know. So then you can just translate that they're going to complain to Hashem. Regarding, it doesn't mean to mourn, it means they're going to complain to Hashem regarding the people. Rashi's words are horugu. Rashi does not say people who have been moved
so
about.
There are going to be differences in interpretation. Okay.
The soft will love, then Aloysa, they're going to eulogize for the people who have been murdered. It means the masses, the Holocaust. Kimispad al hayachad, a bitter mourning, like a parent mourns over a single child. Kasha yispad ish al ben yechidai. And then Rashi cites the Chazal that says, and we're referring over here too, we are referring to Mashiach ben Yosef. Okay, that concludes Rashi. Now let's do the Radak. These are very hard psukim, very rich psukim, and now we're going to go take our third pass through the psukim, through the Radak. Rashi and the Mitzudos were very, very similar, if not almost identical. Now we go our third pass, going to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey Radak says, V'amru alufa Yehuda yoimru b'liban. Okay, as on page 833, V'amru alufa Yehuda yoimru b'liban, kishayu bein oiveihem, ki yoshev Yerushalayim yu amtsa. The people of Yerushalayim are strong, v'choizek, v'chosko lohem, sheyetzu lilochim imam be'ezras Hashem tzvokas v'yinotz lubam. Amtsa shame b'shekel, it is a shame, it is an adjective. Adjective, b'shekel, in the same grammatical form of the word avla, or anva, kavsa, shalva.
Where are you located then?
833, on page 833 in the Radak.
Oh,
in the Radak. So let's take note that over here, Radak, is he coming to disagree with Rashi and the Mitzudos? The Pasuk says, V'amru aluf, let's read the Pasuk inside, according to him, V'amru aluf Yehuda, the chiefs of Yehuda will say, B'libam, Amsa liyesh v'Yerushalayim. The people of Yerushalayim are going to help us. They're going to strengthen us. It appears that the Radak disagrees with the approach of the Mitzudos David and Rashi. Let's review. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos David, when the people of Yehuda recognize the miracles that they are experiencing, they will not attribute. You don't have a sefer?
No,
what, they took the ball away?
No. Someone is in the fourth section, he started moving things around, and we don't know where he put it.
It's not in the main room? We're in the old place?
It could be in a room, but we don't know.
It's not in our
old place on the shelf. No, it's not there.
It's not there?
Not only that, he took things around.
All right, so we have to. Your mom's not there. All right.
I'll just speak to him tomorrow later.
Okay. But I don't know. Okay.
Search party.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, we. So again, the Rashi says, "I'm a lufi you the believe on." Okay. Okay, so Rashi and the Mitzvah Stavah, they understood this to mean that when the members of Klal Yisrael recognize their success, when they recognize their success, they're not going to attribute their success to themselves.
I know where he put it over here.
You found it? Okay, so you can give Mr. Beanstalk a second.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay,
don't worry about it. It's okay. The world goes on. There are a lot, if you want to worry about something, I'll give you a lot of other things to worry about. It's not so important. Okay, let's review. Again, we're losing our focus, train of thought. According to Rashi and the Mitzvah David, the issue here is that when the Klal Yisrael, the people who are, we're calling them the human shields, outside Yerushalayim, recognize their success, they will attribute it to the tefillos of the Anshei Yerushalayim. I'll read the pasuk. The Amar Lufa Yehuda, believe them. They'll say in their hearts, Amseli Yoshua Yerushalayim. It's in the past tense. The people of Yerushalayim have strengthened me. They have davened for me. They prayed for me. The reason we merited this incredible success, this miracle, and survived, it's only because they davened for us.
Is this Achris Hayomim?
Yes, that we discussed in the last few days. These psukim are describing Milchemes Gog u'Magog. And we're describing all this story, we've gone through it a few times. It's Milchemes Gog u'Magog, and the Gog u'Magog is coming to march upon Yerushalayim. And on their way, they grab Jews wherever they can find them, outside, all over the world, wherever they are, the people of the outside Yerushalayim, to serve as human shields. Okay, that's what we've been learning all the time. And then a war breaks out. And the people and the people of Yerushalayim have no choice but to launch a counterattack. And according to the laws of nature, the human shields should be victims of this battle. And miraculously, the human shields do not suffer any casualties. The Jews, who are the human shields on the outside, they do not suffer any casualties. And then the Jews ask the question, why? Why? Why did we merit to survive? Why did we not fall in this battle when we were in harm's way? And the Pasuk here, Pasuk Hey, according to Rashi and the Mitzvah David, gives the answer. The people of Yehuda, which means the people who are outside Yerushalayim, who have been forced to stand there next to the enemy and serve as human shields, they acknowledge the reason why they survived is because the people of Yerushalayim davened for them. The Omeru Alufe Yehuda, Bilibam, the chiefs, the leaders of Yehuda, who are the human shields, when they recognize that their survival outside Yerushalayim was miraculous, they will say in their hearts, you know why? Lama, why? Why did this happen? It's only because Amtzali Yoshve Yerushalayim. They prayed for me. The word Amtza is another word for davening. Okay, add that to your list. All the different words you find in Tanakh that are used to refer to prayer. There is tefillah, amida, there is sicha, okay? Sicha, that's at least three basic words. Sicha, amida, v'yetze yitzak lo suach basode. V'odem ayin la'avod es hodem. I'm giving you at least four words. Avod, ezehu avodah shebelev, zu tefillah. So there's avoda, there is sicha, vayetze yitzhak losuach basode, there's obviously tefillah, and there is amida, to be oimed lefnei hamelech, amida.
Others,
yeah, there are many others.
Vayetar,
five, vayetar.
Tachanunim,
fine, six. There must be many, many words, but here, we have word number seven, and that is the word amtsa. Amtsa, you have to, what's the correct grammatical form in its pure sense? Oimeitz, it means to strengthen yourself, to gird yourself, okay, to be mechazik yourself. Tefillah needs chizuk. Tefillah is something which always needs strength. You have to go to battle, you have to be mechazik yourself. The pasuk here is giving you the answer to the question of lama, why did we miraculously survive this battle? The people of Yerushalayim, they have davened for me, b'Hashem Tzevakos. They davened to Hashem Tzevakos Elokeihem, three words, b'Hashem Tzevakos Elokeihem, three words describing Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that itself is a big, big sort of topic for a PhD thesis. In order to go and analyze the entire Tanakh and look at the combinations of Hashem's name in every single setting, Hashem Elokim, or just Hashem Elokim, there's one place or more than one place, Elokim Hashem. That's the Haftarah. I think the Haftarah on the second day of Shavuos is a very unique. We read the Haftarah there. Yeah, if you don't get into a lot of trouble there. The way you say Hashem is Elokim Hashem. Okay, there's Hashem Elokim 99% of the time, and there's one of two places where you say Elokim Hashem. Then you have Hashem Tzevakos, Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem Elokim. Yeah, yeah, we have Tzevakos, Kel Shaka. Why isn't Shaka enough? Va'erel Avraham El Yitzchak El Yaakov BeKel Shakai. Why didn't Hashem just say I appeared to the Avos B'Shakai? What's this combination Kel? And then Shaka. I mean, the list goes on forever. There's a list, you go through the entire Tanakh and look not just at Hashem's different names, but let's discuss the combination. Everything in life is about, you know, the combination. You have to have the right combination. And here, you can no question about it. This is a unique expression, which I don't recall ever seeing before, a unique expression which puts Hashem Tzevakos Elokeihem. Okay, a unique expression describing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the people of Yehuda, they acknowledge that their salvation has come through the Koich of Tefillah. This is what it says in the Mitzvah of David and what it says in Rashi. The Radak disagrees. The Radak does not look at this pasuk in the past tense. That the people of Yehuda are acknowledging that the reason why we're still alive today is because they daven for us. But instead he looks at this pasuk going forward into the future. The people of Yehuda are worried sick. What is going to be tomorrow? Here we are, we're human shields. Every single moment, there's a bullet flying in the air. What's going to be? Me'ayin yavoi ezri. And they say to themselves, we need not worry, our brethren in Yerushalayim, they will come help us. S.O.S. We send an emergency call, they will come to our rescue. The Radak looks at this pasuk in the future. We need help. Who's going to be there for us? So he says of the Radak, I'm going to look at the Radak one more time. Yoimru b'libam, kishayiyu ben oyveihem, when they're amongst their enemies, when they're human shields. Ki yoishvei Yerushalayim yehiyu, in the future tense. They will, in the future, they'll get us out of this sorrow. They will be amitza. The Choizek Lohem, Sheyetsu Lilochem Imam. They will come out of their holes to fight for us. The Ezra Sashem Tzevakos V'yinatz Lubam. Okay, a fundamental disagreement between the Mitzvah Stavim, between the Radak and the other, and Rashi and the Mitzvahs. And then he goes into the grammar, which we did. Let's now go to Pasuk Vav. Bayoyim Ahu on that day. On that day, as Alufa Yehuda, Gedola Yehuda, Shayu Bechutz, Asimeim, the leaders of Yehuda who are on the outside, which Bel, who said these are the human shields, we're calling them. I will make them Kichyor Eish Be'etzim. Okay, fire. They're going to be fire that is being fueled by wood. So we let's take a step back and remember, according to Rashi and the Mitzvah stuff, this means that when their understanding is when they look back in the past. And they acknowledge that their survival was only because of the tefillos of the Anshei Yerushalayim. They are ignited. They become, they're stimulated. They are awakened. Their spirit is awakened and they're filled with passion and resolve to fight, to go forward. And That's what Rashi and the Mitzvahs David said. But according to the Radak, it's not going to be the Pshat, obviously, because according to Rashi and the Mitzvahs, according to the Radak, we're not looking back at the past. We're looking into the future. And who's going to save us? So he says, Gedol Yehuda Shayu B'chutz, Asimeim, I'll make them kichior, Eish beitzim, ki be'eish she'eshlach bagoyim timahon v'shigaon yisboinenu. Now the Radak is going back to the previous section that we learned last week, when the human shields, what we're calling them, they see that the goyim are confused, they are bewildered, they are overcome with insanity. They're making decisions that make absolutely no sense. Yisboinu ki me'es Hashem. This is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yaku heim, they will smite them. U'v'nei Yehuda she'imohem ba'goyim al yamin v'al smol u'perish kiyor esh gacheles esh. He learns the word kiyor means a coal of fire, not a torch. Miloshon tanur v'chirayim, same thing as the same source. U'chmosho etzim v'etzim v'ho'amir, the wood and the stubble, nechoinim, are prepared, livar im ha'esh, to burn well, kein ha'goyim yiyu nechoinim la'avadoin u'lechiloyoin. They are going to be conditioned and ready to be obliterated. B'timahoinu v'shigoyin sheyishlach bochem ha'kel yisparach, Hashem will overwhelm them with insanity. Okay, so this is, you look at it today. Today you read the news. Depends which news you read. Unfortunately, I've been damaged already. I have subscribed to too many conspiracy theories, type of blogs. You see the stuff that I get. You'll be very surprised. I have to show you how to subscribe to these things. You have to have the right tools to subscribe to all these extreme right-wing channels that give the headlines that are sometimes so extreme, they're even more extreme than the left wing. And you begin to wonder, but it's interesting. Sometimes you see politicians, and you see people out there in the world are really overcome with insanity. Oh, yeah. The decisions and the things that they say are totally, totally outside the realm of reality. Okay, there's a war on reality in today's society.
Absolutely.
A war on reality. Like I'm maybe you have seen. I would send it out to you, but it's not totally clean, so I can't really send it out.
What's his name? Michael Savage used to say liberalism is a mental disorder.
Yeah, I mean, well, okay, but like there's this fascinating video clip, which basically summarized the entire current events with a teacher. I would send it out, but it's a little bit, there's some little pet in it, so it's not really right. But the clip is about a teacher who was teaching a student. It's like a 5-minute clip. It's brilliant beyond belief. Brilliant beyond brilliant. How they illustrated they summarized the entire society with this mushroom. There was an old lady, an elderly woman who was a first grade teacher teaching a little boy 2 + 2. So the boy, what is 2 + 2? The boy writes down, it's 22. 2 + 2 is 22. So the teacher very delicately says to the child, in a very nice, like a grandmother, it's not 22. 2 + 2 is 4. 2 + 2 is 4, not 22. So the next thing is, she gets a call from the parents. The parents show up, and they want to sue her, and they're cursing her with the grace of clawless. How can you harm our child and abuse him by telling him he's wrong, by telling him 2 + 2 is 4, let him believe it's 22. What's so terrible? And she says, no, that's not right. And the thing escalates. And the next thing is the principal calls her up and tells her you can't do that to the child. And then the media shows up. There are cameras. And she's on television. And there are court cases. It goes like, the whole world, the abuse of this wicked grandmother teaching the first grade a child 2 + 2. How could she tell him it's 4 when if he wants 2 + 2 = 22, let him leave, it's 22. And then they demand that she apologize, and then they fire her. Ganze Chagaya, it's an incredible thing. At the very end, it's very humorous. The end is really humorous.
Math is racist.
And the end is so that finally after this whole chagaya, the principal says, listen, you're fired. Because you're a criminal, you're a racist, you're a terrorist, you're a destroyer of society, what you've done to this poor little child. But we know we're very good. So we'll give you your back pay. We owe you $2,000 from last month, and we'll give you severance, also the law is severance, another $2,000. So we're gonna give you $4,000. Because the back pay is $2,000 and the severance is $2,000. So we're gonna give you $4,000. So she says, no. 2 plus 2 is 22. You are giving $22,000 for my departure. It's brilliant. Basically, the lesson is you're going to destroy yourselves. You want to continue down this path of stupidity and go to war against reality. You'll end up destroying yourself. Society will destroy itself. And this is what it says in the Mitzvah Stavit. The Mitzvah Stavit over here says that there are people of Yehuda, they're watching, they're over here, they're embedded in society, and they see from all sides, they see around them, the world has gone insane. The world has literally been overtaken with a fit of insanity. Okay, and the fit of insanity is going to embolden the people who believe in reality. The more you see the people around you are insane, the more vigor and the more passion you have to fight your battle. Why? Because MS koi. One thing is very clear in this world. MS endures. MS koi shikra loy koi. When you see a world, where it's vague, it's not really clear who's right, who's wrong. So then, that's golus. When you're able to blur, the MS is nista. It's not so easy. You need to have a muna of what's MS. Then people get away with it. But when you come to a point in time where 2 plus 2 equals 22 and not 4, then the people who are believers in MS don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to worry. Now is the time when the people who believe in MS can come out in full force. Because MS koi, shikro loy koi, MS will win. That's built into the DNA of this world. Even though you look around the world, the sheker is unbelievable. The only way sheker is able to survive is when sheker is sheltered.
When overreach.
When sheker is concealed, when people are able to hide the lie, then the people who know the MS have to be very careful. Because there's a force of evil in this world, and if they're able to conceal themselves, they're going to win. But when you get to a point where the sheker is begolui, it's just outrageous, the sheker is outrageous, okay, so for the moment, the sheker will flare up. But the world cannot be sustained through sheker. It's the same way. The same way there's science, there are the laws of nature, it's impossible. Sheker, explicit sheker cannot survive. And when you see in the world outright sheker, then the people who are believers in MS have nothing to fear. They are then can come out in the open and fight with passion and with conviction, because the people who are promoting sheker, they're goners. They'll have their day in the sun for a few moments, but the end day, and like that's really, we're really coming to this. Ikvus of the Mashiach. It's never been in the media, at least I don't think in the last number of years, such outright open lies out in society. And no, that's don't fight with them. Don't fight. Let the lies go on. The world cannot
Rabbi,
be.
Good morning. Good morning. Which passage are we up to now, please?
I'm on page 833. I'm on page 833, 8:33. Count 22. A pasuk vav. Pasuk vav. Zecharia Perigudbeis pasuk vav. Pasuk vav. Let me read the words again. Bayomu. So this idea that I just expressed. Let me read the words inside. Bayomu anate as. Bayomu anate asluf Yehuda gedol Yehuda shayu b'chutz. Asimem kichiyar eitz eish beitzim. I'll make them like a kiyar, like a coal. The radak. The radak says I'll make them like a coal. He doesn't own a torch. A burning coal. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, they learn to mean a torch. It's a very big difference. I'll make them like a coal of a fire on that day. I lost the place over here. At the time when Hashem will dispatch to the nations of the world, Timohon v'shigaon, insanity. When the goyim clearly are living in a delusional world, and it's clear as day, yisboininu, then the people who are faithful will acknowledge, will realize, ki me'es Hashem hu. For people on this level of authority to go and make decisions and to say things that are totally, totally insane, this is the working of Hashem.
What he's saying is that Hashem will cause this madness.
Right, that's exactly what I'm saying. Hashem is causing these...
You think that it's coming from, you know, that it's self-directed.
It's the Yad Hashem. The Yad Hashem is putting into their minds, is controlling their minds. Like, Chabed Hashem is slave power. What does it mean? Think of it, this is nothing new. The Yitzias Mitzrayim power was the template for the Gula Wasida. The whole Egypt is going down the drain. How many the dynasties, you read about the ancient Egypt, it was just unreal what they built up over the centuries, what they built up there. Dynasties and dynasties, it's not to be believed. It makes, you read about the ancient Egypt, and America's a joke compared to the Malchus, what must have been going on over there, the power, the wealth, the glory. It was an unbelievable country, Egypt. And the whole Egypt is literally going down the toilet. And Paro, he's insane. He's literally insane. Like, Chabed Hashem is slave Paro. Hashem put into Paro to say, no, I'm not letting you go. Rather have the whole country go down to zero than let these few people go. And when you see that happening, you know that it's Me'es Hashem. Hashem is causing the shot. He's pulling the strings. And the first white line, ke'esh uperush kior esh kacheles esh milosh and tamid chidayim chumosh aitzim v'ha'amir nechayim. Just like when the aitzim and the wood and the stubble is prepared to live or imo esh, ke nagoyim yu nechayim la avdoin to be destroyed ulchiloyon b'timohinu v'shigoyin. They are going to be destroyed through their insanity. Sheyishlach bohem akel yisporach. Hashem is injecting into their minds poison, a poison thoughts. Ve'alufa Yehuda yu bohem kumo ha'ish l'chaloisam. And the alufa Yehuda are just going to fuel the fires. They're just going to go and fuel the fires. They should bring about their own destruction. This is an exact parallel, I feel, to Paro. Paro was insane. In the beginning, he was stubborn. But the last five makos, it says, "Vayichazek Hashem et slave paroi, vayichabed liboy." I know there are many, many perushim as to what that means. There are many approaches to understand what it means that are hard. This is age-old question: yes. How can Hashem take away from a person his free will, his bechira chofshes? Age-old question. But one very simple interpretation is that indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making Paro Meshuggah. He's making him insane. And you see a parallel in the times of Mashiach. Because the truth is, as Ramacho will tell you, that Yitzias Mitzrayim was the template for the Dalet Malchios, which culminates in Milchemes Goyg u'Magog. And La'asilovo, the Umayis Olam are going to behave like Paro. They're going to see the world be destroyed from underneath. Irrationally, they're going to be irrational, and they don't care. And it doesn't make any sense. And indeed, it is the workings of Hashem, just like it says by Paro, Vayichabed Hashem et slave Paro, Hashem is putting into their minds a fit of insanity. And when we see that happen, we know Mashiach is on the way, and we should become like Moshe and fan the fire and just stay the course. Stay the course.
Well, you said earlier that we need to fight back against this. Now you're saying we should just...
stay the course. Both. It's both. It possibly says they're going to be... whatever it means.
It's not exactly... that goes against the grain, because there's something called self-preservation. If we try to assert ourselves against this
they'll crush us.
Well... I don't know.
It depends.
Are we guilty of delaying Mashiach if we resist?
Okay.
What are we talking about?
So it's interesting. Now we look at the words. There are two different ways to fight back. We discussed this yesterday regarding energy, right? But if you look at these words now, it has, according to the Radak, there's a new symbolic meaning. Kichior esh be'etzim, and then there is uchelapid esh be'omir. Now a kiyar, according to the Mitzvah David, according to the Radak, means a coal. And a lapid is a torch. So there are two very different types of fires here. According to Mitzudois and Rashi, both of these things mean a torch. So why the repetition? No, poetic repetition, renewable energy, whatever. We discussed that yesterday. But according to the Radak, that's not what it says. According to the Radak, there are two different types. There's a coal and there is a torch.
Sense.
They're very, very different. They're very different. They're very different. And being that there are two very different types of, and according to the Radak, this is a description of how Klal Yisrael will fight back. They'll fight back either as a coal or they'll fight back as a torch, which means, or Macaulay is saying, you talk about a torch, it means to be proactive. Proactive is a torch. And if you want to say it means diplomacy, lobbying government, or it means just stay the course, stay in your hole, stay in your basement, and just keep the faith. That's more of an approach of you'll fight back with defiance. Yosef HaTzadik, in Russia, right? The people who are just defiant. People, hunger strikes, you have all these interesting memories of Klal Yisrael who fought against evil through, not by going out to war and burning down buildings and rioting, they fought through defiance, silent defiance.
Passive
resistance. So I want to suggest to you that according to the Radak, that's exactly what Zechariah is witnessing in this pasuk. He's seeing the day of our time, our generation, our day, our times, Yisrael Mashiach, where the world has been overtaken with a fit of insanity. What do the Germans want? What do they care? What's the hatred about? Anti-Semitism. What's this all about? What's today going on in America? What's this liberalism that is taking on a form that we've never seen before? It's a fit of insanity. How do you fight back? So it says on that day when we will witness this insanity, we know that this can be nothing other than the Yad Hashem. Hashem is influencing them to behave in such a way because it's irrational. And we fight back. We're emboldened. How do we fight back? Two ways, it says. It says, Bayoimahu Asim as Alufa Yehuda. Two different types of resistance. There is passive resistance, which is alluded to in the form of kichior esh be'etzim, a coal. A coal doesn't make a lot of light. There's not a lot of glory in coals. You don't see, what do you see? You see nothing. You just see something on the ground. Little do you know that if you touch it, you'll get burnt. And there's another form of resistance called ulchalapid esh, a torch. You go out to battle. You're proactive. When are you going to fight back with passive resistance? And when do you fight back by being proactive? Okay, that requires some a noodle in your brain to know what's appropriate in every given situation. Okay, this is Siyata Shemaya. But it would appear that's a drush as to why we have both of these terms in this pasuk. Especially, it fits very well in the interpretation of the Radak that tells us that there are two different types of fires, a coal and a torch, and this is the response to the realization that the world around us has gone mad, which doesn't make any sense other than to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put into their minds to behave this way, to bring the Geula, no different than HaKadosh Baruch Hu influenced the mind of Paro to act irrationally, to bring about Hashem's desired result. We're witnessing a repeat of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Maybe both.
What?
Maybe both at the same time. Responses are probably...
Right, obviously. Klal Yisrael is very big. Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, is very big. And there are many different groups. Mm. And there are many different types of people. And Kishem, Shein Partsufeim Shavos, Kach, Dein Deoseim Shavos. The same way no two people look alike, no two people think alike. And some people are big believers in activism and being proactive. And there are some people that have a different mahalach. And Eilu V'Eilu. Eilu V'Eilu. And simultaneously, it's not one size fits all. There are different segments in Klal Yisrael that have their different approaches. And everything together contributes to achieve a Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Absolutely. If you would go back into Yetzias Mitzrayim, were the Jews passive or were they proactive? Well, there was both elements. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, look at Shabbos HaGadol. Hashem said, "Take the seh, provoke them, provoke the Egyptians. Go to the market where they sell sheep and buy their own avodah zarah." Probably the guy knew, very excited. Oh, the Jews, you're converting. Oh, you're finally coming around to believe in our God. I think, we're not buying an electronic car because we care about the environment. We're buying the electronic car because we want to destroy it. Maybe if you would say today, an electronic car is a religion, the environment. You care about the environment, carbon emissions. So everyone's going to purchase electronic. Oh, you care about the environment. We don't care about the environment. We want to remove them from the road. Okay, I'm just joking, obviously, in this context, but they go to buy the sheep. Why are you buying the sheep? We're gonna slaughter your avodah zarah. And the Egyptians went crazy. That's not proactive. That's not proactive. That's pretty proactive to me. And what about all the other makos? It's ish al yetzei mitach beisoi. Okay, when it came to makos b'chayos, just stay at home. Stay at home, just don't. Okay, you have to analyze the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where were they proactive and where were they passive? Let's go further in the Radak. Radak, Pasik, the next paragraph. And then.
What the Abarbanel explains, and not only here, but in how crazy the Mitzrayim were by Kriyas Yamsu. After the, he says, after the 10 Matos that they saw and everything, he said, when they see this wall of water, didn't they think to check the Bnei Israel are just standing on the other side and they see a wall of water? Didn't they stop to think for 1 second this might be a bad idea to go into the to cross the Yam with that wall of water standing there?
It's a fit of insanity.
The Jew was so blinded them so much that they just do stupid things.
Yeah. Okay, now look at the Yonis. Now he goes further in the Radak and he quotes Targum Yonis. So get us into him. Levush dinur be'o'aya. He adds in the word levush. He adds in the levush. He touches the word kichyar. Now, we've been struggling with this word over here, the word kichyar. Until now, we're setting it either a torch or a coal. He seems to say it means a garment. A whole new translation. A garment of fire, be'etzim, that comes from wood. Be'o'aya. This is amazing that we're learning this the day before Lag Ba'Omer. A garment of fire. Why do I say this? I want to talk about this later on. Is there's an ancient minhag, I'm sure maybe you know this, is that no one does this anymore. I want to talk about this later on. Is that that the bonfire, Lag Ba'Omer, to burn expensive clothing. You ever see this? I never saw this.
Used clothes.
What?
The Kahan.
No. Oh, that's the not used clothes. By the. We'll talk about this. So no, this
don't even burn wood anymore.
They just burn it. They just it's just cotton with olive oil with Hashem and Zayis. I was in Meiron. They don't do this. We'll talk about this later on. But there's no doubt about this, and it's all over in all the Sfarim, is that the minhag in ancient times, not ancient times, whatever, not all that long, this minhag, to burn in the fire of Lag BaOmer expensive, very expensive clothing, the most expensive clothing you can possibly buy, to burn them in the fire. And it would appear to be totally insane, Bal Tashchis to the nth degree. And indeed, many of the Gedolei Yisrael have come out in full force. Don't you dare burn expensive clothing in the bonfire of Lag BaOmer. But there is no doubt about it. This is something that was done. I've never seen it done today. It was done, and it was done in a very elaborate way. I read yesterday a story about one of the going back, I don't know how long ago this was, 200 years ago, where they auctioned off who gets the zuchus to light the fire of the bonfire of Lag BaOmer. And there was a very, very wealthy man, like a billionaire of the time, who came to Meiron to buy the zuchus to light the fire, and he purchased, and then he came dressed in the most expensive clothing money can buy in the time. And he was wearing a scarf that must cost, let's say in today's money, $50,000, an exotic scarf. And the way he started the fire, he took off his scarf and he burned it. I have my book, I'll show you, I remember the name of the person, I don't know where this. This is all over the place. Burn expensive clothing in honor of Rashbi, not like it says in the Mishnah, we'll talk about this later on. By the Simchas Beis Hashoeva, it says they burn biloei, worn out clothing that would go in the garbage. So instead of throwing it in the garbage, you might as well use it for another mitzvah. Once you use it for one mitzvah, you will use it for another mitzvah. Instead of taking the clothing of the Kohanim, which would be put in Geniza, would be thrown in the garbage, so you might as well use it in order to light up the courtyard in honor of the Simchas Beis Hashoeva. That's not what they did by Lag BaOmer. They burnt bedavka, expensive designer clothing. Why in the world would you want to do that? We'll talk about that later on. But over here, it's fascinating. The Targum Yonis Ben Uzil says exactly that. The word kichiyar, he translates as lavush. And the word kichiyar, we know what it really means, a design. Kiyar, if not, maybe we'll come across over here, means to etch. It means to craft something very beautiful. And he's translating over here is that on that day, I'll make the alufa Yehuda, kichiyar esh be'etzim, like a lavush, a garment of fire, emanating from wood. Okay, a fire that comes from wood, they will be like a garment of clothing. So when you read something like this, and you read about the minhag, you right away get a sense is that the reason why they would burn expensive clothing is mamish. This is the pasuk. This is the pasuk of Lag BaOmer. When you go to a Lag BaOmer, this is what look at the Radak. It's an incredible Hasiyat Hashmai that was to read these words of the Radak, this Targum, Mamish Erev Lag BaOmer. It's shocking. Because it really opens up the whole minhag, which by the way, disclaimer, today nobody does this. Today the Rabbanim are out there, the Haredi police are out there to get you if you would dare burn clothing in a bonfire. You don't do that today. This is a, you know, for a previous generation of people who understand what this is all about. There's no one today has any understanding of what the fire is, but altogether, I don't understand what they want. To me, when I go to Lag BaOmer and I see them big fires, you know what it reminds me of? The eagle. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. I really don't get it, what it means to dance in front of a bonfire. I really don't get it. It's a pasuk in the Torah by the eagle. I don't get it. And in fact, there were many Gedolim that were very against Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer was the biggest critique of what went on in Meiron. And then even those that are not a critique, they all write, Bepe Achas, that The only place that bonfires is only in Meiron, not in Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz is not a place to make a fire. Chutz La'aretz, you have a su'uda, you have a meal, you say Divrei Torah, you talk about Rashbi. To go so far and to make fires in Chutz La'aretz, that's already too much. It's a chiddush that there should be such a thing in Meiron. Kol HaKavod. No, if that's the Minhag Yisrael, so be it. But to expand the fire of Meiron to Chutz La'aretz, yeah, this is something that is new, is brand new. Klal Yisrael has always celebrated Lag BaOmer for generations in Chutz La'aretz. Always. B'li Yotze Min HaKlal. Go back. Oh, I was a kid, Lag BaOmer, we went to the Lag BaOmer parade. Yeah. Parade, Lubavitch was very big on this. Did Lubavitch make a fire?
No.
I don't remember growing up, not until maybe 10 years ago, ever hearing about a fire in Chutz La'aretz. Do you remember a fire in Chutz La'aretz?
No.
Yeshivas took us to parks, and that's it.
Parks! Do you in your youth ever remember, we always had Lag BaOmer. We go to parks, we play baseball, we had all from yeshiva, we had treats, they took us to parades. Oh, we went, and I was the Lower East Side, we went to the Lubavitch. I remember the Lubavitch Rebbe. I remember I was not so far away from him. I remember him speaking. I was bored out of my mind. I remember that. Yeah. I could have walked up to him. I wasn't so far away. I remember that. Fire, I don't have any recollection my entire growing up. I remember Lag BaOmer was beautiful. Very, very nice memories of Lag BaOmer. But I never remember a fire. All of a sudden, the last 10 years, it became a new fad.
Apparently, this minhag had spread like wildfire.
Oh. It became a new fad to have fires in Chutz La'aretz. And it's fascinating. I was learning yesterday, preparing for the shir, going through, and he writes, I'll show you the little sources, is that, you know, it's a big, the whole thing, Meiron, what's all about, what's going on. So the people, there are many gedolim that are very pro, the Chasam Sofer was the Godel Hador. There's no one that was greater than the Chasam Sofer. Moshe liad Moshe loikom ki Moshe. And he held it to be, he was extremely critical of what was going on in Meiron. And the other Gedolei Yisrael, who were not critical, they themselves went, they said, but let's not get carried away. Only in Meiron do we do this. You don't do this in Chutz La'aretz. And even in Eretz Yisrael, you don't go have bonfires in other locations. And today, it's really out of control. I'm a nobody. I'm not coming to complain. If this is what the Minhag Yisrael must be, there must be Rabbanim Gedolim that say that it's permitted and it's a chizuk for people.
Excuse me. I was just, while we were talking, I took out the Minhag Yisrael Torah. So he said the origin of the Minhag, well, he's very against it. And he says all the Gedolim today and even then said it's the Satmar Rebbe as well. It's Baal Kashtas. You're not allowed to do it.
For clothing. Talk about clothing. Wait, you're talking about clothing.
Clothing. It started with the king, you know.
Okay, right.
See him, it's us to use that. For them, it was okay because there was no Baal Kashkas, because nobody is allowed to use what a king used. Nobody is allowed to ever use it anymore. So when they're finished with it, it's garbage because you can't use it. So there is no Baal Kashkas, but that was only by them. The trouble is, it spread to the average person, and it is not allowed. But today, there's no such thing. But when it first started, the whole thought process was, when a king is finished with something, he can't use it anymore. No one's allowed to use it after that. So they would throw it in the fire because it's unusable. So it's not about touchdowns. But that was the origin of it. And there's no such thing today.
Okay, so we'll talk about that, right? That's one of the reasons. But that's the clothing. So but just the hashgacha practice, we're learning over here, this tagging me on this, and this tagging over here, we have a pasuk over here, Yimos HaMashiach, it'll be Bayomach Hu'asim Ez Alufi Yehuda Kikir Eish Beitzim. And he says something very mystical. The times of Mechemes Chag U'Magog, the words are in the line over here, the Yonasim Tirgim, Kilavush, a garment, denur, a fire, Be'o'ayah, that I assume it means that comes from wood, uchivor, a torch, de esa, that is ignited, ba'amira from stalks from stubble, from stalks, sheaves, the yivzun min doroima, and they will be despoiled. Lashon of Yachlu means they're going to the yivzun, they're going to take the spoils of war. Min doroima, he translates the word yamin, the right, to refer to the south. Umin tzipuna, the north. Yas kol nichse ammemaya, all of the assets of the nations. Sechor all around. So he's learning over here about the battle of Milchemes Goyg Umagog, where the Jewish people are going to be dressed in a garment of fire. A garment of fire. So I'm trying to think out loud with you, and perhaps that's maybe a source of this ancient custom, which again I told you clearly is not in practice today. By not that I'm aware of anyone today, you know, I was in Meiron. I was in the belly of the beast, How many years ago? A couple of years ago, I was there in Meiron in Yerushalayim. I was there for a chasna simchas. I was there. I went into Meiron. I saw my own eyes. I didn't see anything going on. No one throwing in garments. A lot of bonfires. A lot of different centers there, and it's all controlled by, you know, the security, and it's all the same. It's just olive oil and cotton. They have these cotton balls, and they have olive oil. There's no such thing, and see anywhere people throwing anything into the fire. You can't even get near the fires. The fires are totally gated off by security. There are many of these fires. There are a couple of them. They have rotations of different Hasidic groups gathering together with their Rebbe to doing their own bonfire. And they're all this exactly the same. It's just olive oil and cotton. There's no such thing. Even there, Madach, there in the belly of the beast, they don't have any garments. Certainly there's nowhere even elsewhere in the world where you're not even really supposed to have a fire. Certainly this minig is not done. But there's no doubt in my mind. There's no question. Historically, this minig was done. And it's Rabbi Eskel gave us one of the reasons why it was done. But over here, it's incredible what it says in the Targum, which obviously creates, opens up a new interpretation. The word kichiyar.
I'm sorry, Jake. Again, I'm reading further. It's a long paragraph. He says it's also the symbolism for those who say it's like Adam and Chava before the chay.
No clothing.
They didn't have any clothing.
I don't want to say that, Vart. I don't like that. I didn't like that, Vart. Okay, I'll tell you. Okay, we'll go through later on. I have a lot of stuff on this, but let's put it aside for now. But this is new. This is the segue to our next part of the shir. It's incredible hashgacha to read this pasuk. The word kichiyar means something beautiful, design. And the Targum translates it garments, beautiful garment, a beautiful garment of fire. So by throwing in beautiful garments into the fire, it's symbolic of fulfilling or yearning for the fulfillment of this pasuk. When you go to Lag BaOmer and they're throwing in garments in your mind in ancient times, it's almost as if they're being mevakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring that Bayoim Ahu. Bayoim Ahu Asim Es Alufa Yehuda Kichiyoresh. To bring a fire of a beautiful levush, a fire be'etzim. Maybe we'll be'etzim in the wood. Okay? Maybe be'etzim means to burn up the goyim. A beautiful garment of fire simply means that comes from wood. Uchala pidesh, a torch, be'amir, and this fire will go forth and conquer the world and eliminate our enemies. Our enemies, the achlu al yamin v'al smol in the south and the north, es kolo amen. Unbelievable. Okay, we're going to stop over here, take a very short break, and then we're going to talk about Lag BaOmer.
Rashbi, who didn't have any clothes. That's
he was 13 years. For 13 years. Okay, we'll talk about this. I have other stuff. I have some other interesting
doing
things.
That kind of bonfire? Where's that bonfire? Tell me.
Okay, we'll talk about this in a few moments after we break for everyone will go out now and collect some wood. Some twigs, some wood. To get ready for the big event. The big event that, unfortunately, I don't understand what's going on. I thought it was enough, you know, Erev Pesach, the Ron Chametz. That was enough pollution. I guess it wasn't enough.
What
has to be a live owner. Okay.